From coast to coast and around the world, you are now walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining us for an hour of consciousness raising radio. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical with guests from all over the world. And today we have Cynthia Sue Larson with us. But before we get to Cynthia, I want to tell you a little bit about me. I am a intuitive energy therapist, and I have 25 years experience. I have helped thousands of people, from stay-at-home moms to corporate executives, make their invisible dreams visible. And I do this by helping them to see where they're at, get clarity on where it is that they want to go, and then give them the tools to help them reach their goals. In addition to being an intuitive energy therapist, I am a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, and ordained minister. So if you're looking for peace of mind, you're looking for the right relationship, financial independence, or clarity about your life's purpose, give me a call. Because my purpose is to be of service to you. I can be reached toll-free at 888-240-6057, or you can check out either one of my websites. The first one is www.walkingwithspirit.net, and the second, www.healing-visions.com. And you need to put that little dash in between the healing and the visions, because if not, you get this drug clinic down in Florida. Now, my guest today is Cynthia Sue Larson, and she's a very good friend and colleague of mine. And Cynthia has written two books. The first book that she wrote, that I was aware of anyway, was entitled The Aura Advantage, How Colors in Your Aura Can Help You Attain What You Desire and Attract Success. Her second book, Carol Kimball and the Dream Weaver's Web, is an excellent book for teenagers who are getting into the unknown world, as we say it, and her meditation CD is entitled Aura Healings Meditations. Cynthia is a spiritual life coach who helps people transform from accidental manifestors into conscious reality shifters. Cynthia's popular e-zine, Reality Shifters News, is eagerly awaited each month by more than 4,000 people worldwide. And Cynthia has appeared on numerous TV and radio programs, and I am so grateful and thankful to have her with me today. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Monique.
How are you?
Oh, wonderful.
Good. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today on our first run out on BBS Radio.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, I was looking over my notes and, you know, thinking about what we're going to talk about, and I think we're just going to kind of play it by ear and maybe talk about your book, The Aura Advantage, your business, Reality Shifters, and current events, and kind of tie all that in together. Will that work for you?
Totally.
So this is totally unscripted live radio, everybody. And Cynthia, just so that you know, we're not going to have any breaks. We're just going to go right through for about 55 minutes.
Wonderful.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with talking about your book, Aura Advantage. How did you come to write that?
I wrote it because it's kind of a strange story. I've actually been working on a website for some time, the one that you mentioned, realityshifters.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire premise of that website is that our thoughts and feelings literally change the physical world. And my background is in physics. I studied physics at UC Berkeley back in the 80s, which now is quite a while ago. But at that time, quantum physics had come out. Everything that we know from that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know,
mm-hmm.
I've been aware of it. And so I've been tracking this and working in terms of aligning my own understanding of the universe and strange things that I've seen. So getting back to your question, how did I write the book, Aura Advantage? I basically realized that the premise for how our thoughts and feelings change the world is that our energy fields are very instrumental. And so you hear people talk about intention and manifestation, and it's all a matter really of harnessing the energy that each of us accesses, both our own personal energy and then, of course, the universal energies.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cynthia, but how do we harness that energy? Because everybody's talking about it. I mean, Wayne Dyer has the book, The Power of Intention. Everybody's writing about manifesting. I know that you have. I'm in the process of finishing my book on manifestation. But how to the layperson, do you truly harness that energy to affect a positive change?
Okay. Well, do you mind if I bring in some current events?
You can bring in whatever you want, dear.
Okay, let's take a look at this bird flu situation, because today it was a rather large news item in the media with President Bush calling for $7.1 billion.
I saw that,
for the bird flu threat. Okay. Well, that's a lot of money to throw at something. And what I'd like to talk about is a way that people people may be concerned. You know, what if they don't get the vaccine? What if it doesn't work? You know, what can we do to protect ourselves and our families? And how can we best be prepared? Well, my answer as an energy worker and a physicist who's aware of the way energy changes things, and also a witness to many miraculous healings and transformations, is simply this. What we can do to prepare is to keep ourselves in the best physical health through keeping our energy body in the best condition. And the way to do that is basically either it's an either and situation. You can either meditate, or you can pray, or you can do a combination of both. And when I say meditate, that turns a lot of people off. They say, I can't meditate. I don't have the patience for it. I tried it. It doesn't work. And so I'd like people to know who are listening tonight that there are lots of different ways to meditate. It's not just a matter of saying om and sitting in that impossible situation, you know, cross-legged with the feet, the soles of the feet pointing up.
Right, with the hand in the mudra position, right?
Yeah. Okay, very few people can actually pull that off and manage that. I'm not talking about that. If you can do that and it works for you, wonderful. What I'm talking about is just getting to a place where one's mind is clear. That could be by going on a walk in nature. You might find that your best meditation is going around the block on a hike, just clearing your mind, and as you breathe out, just consciously intending that you're letting go of all your worries, including worries about this bird flu. The catch-22 is that when people panic about things, the stress that we feel actually goes up. And so, unfortunately, you know, the worst thing that you can do when you're concerned about a bird flu is to panic. You know, the thing that you need to do is start practicing keeping yourself in a really calm state of mind, keeping yourself feeling in that healing state. We know what it feels like, because when you're getting over a cold, you can feel the change in your energy.
Right.
I think we're all pretty familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a process of starting to practice now. I would say start practicing now. Find a meditation that you like. And I do have some in my book, Aura Advantage. There are lots of meditation tools that people can use. I've got a CD. I've got articles on my website, Reality Shifters, on how to do this. If you like to pray, that works also. And the reason that both of these things work is that they access that universal energy field, which is capable of restoring our own personal energy fields.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the key to the whole thing. So that's why I'm mentioning this bird flu news item, because I think most of us are either slightly concerned about it or very concerned. And so what I'd recommend is before you panic, before you start getting all worked up, like oh my gosh, I don't know if there's going to be enough vaccine. I don't know if it's going to work. I would say, first take the steps that you can do right now.
Uh-huh.
Start meditating. Just get into that daily practice. It doesn't take that much time. It can be even 5 minutes will make a huge difference.
Okay. Well, Cynthia, let me ask this. You said, the bird flu is out here and, we can circumvent it if we choose to. My basic feeling is that what we place our attention on is what we draw to us. And my question to you, since the government is, well, the world governments are out here promoting this bird flu, is it a form of, mind control to cause us to invite it on ourselves?
You mean, is the government doing a kind of mind control?
Yeah, and it might be, unintentional on their part.
Right. Well, if it bleeds, it leads. So that means most of the stories we see on TV and the newspapers have to deal with either tragedy, the hurricanes, of course, things like the riots in Paris.
Uh-huh.
Anything like that tends to be on the front page of the papers, tends to be top of the news. So I would say yes. sort of in a broad sweeping sense, definitely the media and perhaps the government as well tends to let people know that there are things going wrong, and therefore we need to follow what the government recommends. We need to, you know, basically adopt whatever the policies of the day happen to be. But for those of us who wish to be free thinking, for those of us who wish to retain a sense of control, I love what you're saying. You know, we can choose where we put our attention. My recommendation is every time you hear the words bird flu, make it a post-hypnotic kind of a suggestion for yourself. Oh, meditate. And just anytime you hear the words bird flu, just start getting really good at getting into that really deep theta state of mind, blissed out, feeling just a sense of supreme peace. Just the opposite reaction, in other words, because we can train ourselves. And I recommend when people have cancer and doctors are giving them sort of a basic death sentence, in other words, you have X number of months to live, that doesn't need to be the case at all. There are so many documented cases of people having complete remissions from cancer, even supposedly life-threatening cases.
Yeah, well, I knew one woman who had stage 4 cancer, and she actually did noni juice and some other things, but I truly believe what truly helped her beat it was her mind, because it wasn't time for her to go, and she was very adamant about that. Then on the other hand, I had a cousin who was diagnosed with cancer of the pancreas, and the doctor gave him 6 months, and he was here 6 months to the day.
Right. Well, this is what I'm saying. Thank you for those wonderful examples. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, if we just for a minute realize that when a doctor tells you you've got 6 months to live, you can actually say, oh, yeah, let's see about that. And you can decide, I'm going to work with some alternative medical techniques. I'll be working with some different kinds of things, whether it's supplements, whether it's changing the alkalinity of the diet for, you know, for cancer, or whether it's working with energy healing methods. Any kind of energy healing has been proven to be effective, ranging from Reiki, which works with symbols, to pranic healing, to prayers of all different kinds. And these kinds of remote, non-local healing techniques have been proven in medically refereed journals with double-blind studies to be extremely effective. So that what I'm saying is, if there is someone that's quite ill, perhaps with AIDS or a heart disease, and they do receive some kind of prayer or remote healing of some sort, the folks that are getting that kind of non-local healing have tremendously different and tremendously reduced levels of disease and all sorts of side effects that tend to happen to people that are kind of sick compared to those that are in the control group. So what that means for each of us is that when we take it into our own hands and say, okay, I'm going to be doing healing on myself, which is what I do when I work with clients. I like to teach them, this is what you can do. Anytime a doctor sees you, know that you can start changing your health. You know, rather than panicking and getting into that fear-based state, know that you can turn everything around. And that would be my advice for the media. You know, anytime that you're looking at the news, watching the nightly news, which is, I'd recommend against it, actually.
I was going to say, you know, don't watch it.
That's right.
Stay away.
Step number one, don't watch it.
Right. But then, you know, how do we really get the information then? Right. You know, because we're a society, we need everything right now. We need to know everything right now. So how would you suggest that we gain information?
What I suggest is basically know that you are a reality shifter. And know that when you hear a news flash or a newscast, whether it's breaking news and they're saying, you know, Hurricane Gamma has reached level 5 and is heading straight for the United States coast, when something like that happens, or when you hear the bird flu has reached Europe and it's headed to the United States, whatever it is that you're hearing, recognize, I have the power to turn this around. And even if you don't believe it, people should definitely stop by my website, look at the Reality Shifters stories from around the world, because when you notice that people are reporting things that are miraculous transformations all the time, it's not isolated incidents. These so-called spontaneous remissions are not anecdotal incidents. They are actually becoming a groundswell of, taking back our health kind of a movement.
Uh-huh.
It hasn't been reported as widely as I'd like to see it, But this is the kind of news that should be on the front page.
And yeah, but you know,
that's what I love about your show, Walking with Spirit, because you're helping people understand that when we take that walk with Spirit, when we understand that we can be one with that Spirit, then there is no fear that can have the hold on us.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Cynthia, I want to, well, first of all, let's open up, since this is a call-in show, let's open up the phone lines for our listeners. If you're calling from the States, the number is 888-268-4313. Again, that's 888-268-4313. And international is 281-419-7697. And that is, again, 281-419-7697. Cynthia, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to talk about what's happened here in the States as of late in the form of weather. We've had the two hurricanes, Katrina and Rita, and then even Wilma stopped by Florida to give another little visit. So many people are so, you know, they've lost everything, and I truly do feel for those people. However, what do you feel was the spiritual lesson behind Rita, Katrina, and Wilma?
Wow. Boy, you know how to get to the heart of things. I would say, you know, on an individual case-by-case level, each one of us has really gotten a very different kind of personal message from these storms. Those who have been directly affected, I would be remiss to speak for them, really, because I have not been affected directly by these storms. And so I wish to let people know that if they've gone through this, or if they have been part of the relief effort and have been one of those volunteers that have been living in those very large communal dwellings, sometimes with hundreds of refugees all together in one place, where it's very difficult to sleep for the night because of the coughing, the constant noise. You know, some people are still in a state of PTSD. Even after having left the shelters, they feel like they're still in them.
Right.
And these are the lucky ones that made it to the shelters.
Uh-huh.
You know, never mind those who didn't make it and had to live on their own, sometimes with no shelter whatsoever. You know, horrible things have happened and wonderful things. Each person has a very unique story. So I would say that the spiritual lesson for Americans in general is we need to know that we are not necessarily invulnerable. When nature decides to have an effect, that we can be touched, that this is not something that we can think of ourselves as being above it all. And so I think that this has been a humbling experience for Americans in general.
Mm.
But what I'd like to say for those who have been touched by these storms, I would hope that no matter how bad things have been, that they can see that there is a reason to go on, and that there is a spirit within each of us that is truly infinite, that truly is eternal, and that there are people who really do reach out to those who need help, even without knowing them. And to me, that's a lesson of love and the depth and breadth of the human spirit that is just truly invincible and a brilliant thing to see. So, you know, when I hear stories about children and pets that have been dislocated, that they didn't know where they belonged, but that there were strangers that would help them be reunited with their families, these are phenomenal stories. And
uh-huh.
I think it's stories that we relate to the best as people.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also believe, and I don't know if you're on the same page with this, but before we came in on Earth Plane, we kind of picked our life, and we picked what we wanted to go through. And then once we came in, we were covered with the veils, and, you know, now the energy is so that the veils are thinning and we can see through easier, you know, just about the everyday common person, but we still have these lessons, so to speak, to learn. So I think on some level that maybe those people who were affected by the hurricanes, the inclement weather, were filling out some part of their agreement, and those who perished, so to speak, or moved on to what is next, it was time for them to go when they had fulfilled their agreement. And I think that the lesson that they were trying to give us was unconditional love. And, you know, I thought it was very interesting that as a country, we are protecting our quote-unquote freedom over in the Gulf. We're fighting the Gulf War. And then here in the States, Mother Nature took care of our Gulf.
Yes.
You know, and
well, there's some tremendous parallels there. And mm-hmm. It's a good thing that you mentioned that and bring it up. I know it's controversial, obviously.
Well, but if we get the plug pulled, we'll know what happened.
Yes. My experience with what you talk about the fact that we know what's going to happen, mm-hmm. I think some of us have really specific points where we definitely have to be doing a certain thing at a certain year and place and time. And then there's a lot of free will area. So I see it as a combination between destiny and free will, with some points that seem like they're kind of charted out in advance. Like, okay, you can do anything you want, but at this certain point in time, these things are definitely going to happen because they need to, on the cosmic scale for, you know, for all of mankind and for everyone, who exists. But there are a lot of parallel realities. This is something that I've raised the idea of on my website, Reality Shifters. Sometimes you might think it's kind of mundane if you're noticing that there's something that appears that was never there before. Mm-hmm. You know, often people notice that they set their keys down and they walk away and can't find them, and later the keys show up. I've seen things that just have landed, sort of materialized. And as far as what's causing that, I'm not sure. You know, I'd have to tell you honestly, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the reason that I'm bringing this up in relationship to your question is that I do feel that even though a lot of us are choosing where we want it to be, there's a tremendous amount of give and take and free will in there. And so we might have decided, okay, I want to be in America when the storms hit, but as far as where you are, there might be some play with that. And sometimes people get the, you know, the feeling ahead of time, like before 9/11, a lot of people just got that intuition to not take that certain flight, or to something delayed them. They didn't make it into work on time, so they weren't at the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. And so some people pick up intuitive little feeler things. You know, their feelers are out there. Their energy field is sensing things through their aura. And so they get input. But you're right. I think a lot of us definitely, when we go through these things, we need to. And it's a big wake-up call. And it's exactly right. It's all about unconditional love. I would definitely agree with you.
Okay. Well, you know, if we should find ourselves, you know, it's interesting. The Northeast has had its floods, and the South, we know what's gone on there. And, you know, a few things in the Midwest, you know, Denver's getting a lot of snow, but nothing's happened on the West Coast. And that is, you know, quite interesting. Everybody's predicting the, you know, the huge earthquake. And, of course, it's naturally coming because they do happen every now and then. But when we find ourselves in the middle of a situation that is not necessarily to our liking, like a storm or an earthquake or whatever, what can we do in that given moment energetically to shift our reality?
Awesome question. This is something that's a topic that comes up a lot on the Reality Shifters discussion board. A lot of people actively work with the weather. Perhaps they're right there in the face of the storm. I know a number of people that have been able to, through their intention of just visualizing that there's a protective bubble. It's like sealing your aura, but they do that around their entire home or their entire neighborhood. Those places are unaffected by a tremendous amount of damage. And so, once again, when you learn how to work with energy, you can set protection around not just yourself, but around others, and also around your home. And this is definitely, I feel that this will be documented and verified with scientific experiments down the line. Right now, I don't know of any that are very definitive about this. It's all anecdotal evidence that I'm sharing with you.
Uh-huh.
But it's just so prevalent. I see so many cases of it. Every time that there's a fire in California, we've been getting fires, like the ones in San Diego. Not so much this year, but occasionally we get them coming uh-huh. through. And people are able to do the same thing with fires, to help turn the fire around, to change the way the wind is shifting, and so forth. So I guess working with energy would be my recommendation for pretty much any kind of catastrophe or disaster scenario. Whether you're expecting it or facing it, just know that you can change things. And it's pretty much the same thing as what we were talking about earlier with the bird flu. Just by recognizing that you can keep yourself in a very heightened state of awareness, but very relaxed and energized at the same time. That's what meditation does. It brings us to that theta state, which is kind of like daydreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much right before we go to sleep in that hypnagogic state, that's where we can really work most effectively with energy. And keeping in that unconditional love state of mind that you're talking about, and then just consciously sending out the intention that we are protecting our homes, protecting our neighborhoods, that we are just, you know, setting up this shield, that definitely works.
Okay, now do we need to envision any type of shield? I know when I do my own protection work, well, it depends, I guess, on what I'm protecting, but generally I'll use gold because, in my opinion, gold is a neutral color where it lets in the good energy, but it keeps the bad energy out. A lot of people put white light around themselves. Do you have any other suggestions that we could share with people?
Yes.
A couple of tips, and then they can go buy your book?
Yes, they definitely can get the book. And in the meditation CD, I talk about setting protection in there. Some people just want to be guided through it. But basically, for those who have a working system that they like, I'd say if it's working, go ahead and stick with that. And so, you know, gold is also one of my favorite colors to work with. I agree with you. It's very, very divine. You know, working with gold light and white light, those are two of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's very effective is visualizing a mirror. And some people do that by picturing the, just like we have mirrors that have sort of a black surface underneath and then this half-silvered or silvered color on the outside. You can visualize that and recognize that you can intend you're keeping out everything that's not unconditional love. Just so anything coming at you or those that you love and care about will be reflected back in a way. So those are all quite effective.
Okay. Now, more of these tips can be found in your book and your CD. So let's talk about your book for a moment, The Aura Advantage. That is available at Barnes & Noble. I've seen it in Barnes & Noble, I think Borders too even.
Yeah.
I know it's on Amazon. Where else can it be purchased?
Well, through my website, and a lot of metaphysical bookstores carry it. If you have a favorite metaphysical bookstore and you notice it's not there, you can definitely, and please do, you know, tell the manager or tell one of the salespeople that you'd like to have it stocked, and they will make sure that it's there. I think it's been called the classic Bible of aura books, and the reason for that is that it's got quite a variety of information, everything from what the colors of the aura are to how to see auras, and then moving into things like color therapy, aura photography,
uh-huh.
and lots and lots of meditations and exercises. So I'm quite fond of it. Obviously.
I am too. because you truly, your work in that book is valid and it does work. I mean, there are a few books out here that you read and you're like, well, you know, I really don't know. But the exercises that you share do work. Now tell us a bit about your aura healing meditation CD.
Okay. That's a CD that it's about an hour and a half long. It's got three different parts to it. The first meditation is one of being in the presence of divine spirit, just really feeling a sense of just being surrounded with that pure unconditional love, and also getting an opportunity to request pretty much any kind of healing or any kind of new energies that are divine in nature to come to you. So it's an opportunity for people that have cancer to be working on that, for people that are depressed to clear that depression, and so forth. So pretty much whatever it is that you'd like to work on, and if you don't know what it is, you can just ask Spirit to bring you whatever energies you most need at this time. So it's an extremely interactive, non-redundant kind of a CD in that sense. The second meditation is the sensation of receiving that divine love and feeling what it feels like as it goes through each of the major energy centers. And those are called chakras, which is a Sanskrit word for wheels of light. And so as a person feels that energy coming down through their body, it's just a wonderful experience to sense that energy and to feel that there's just a rejuvenation happening on all levels of one's being. And then the third meditation, and these are all guided meditations with piano music in the background that were individually composed for each piece.
And who did your music for you?
That was a composer friend. He had worked for many years with Motown, who's a child prodigy in the music business. And he's basically done tremendous amount of musical backup for a wide variety of Motown-type artists. And this is not a Motown meditation scene. Just because he's done that in the past doesn't mean that's what this is.
Well, that would be quite interesting. You know, like you have the beat of Marvin Gaye or, you know, who way back then, Martha Reeves and Vandellas or something, you know, and meditating to it.
That could work. But the compositions actually take people right into that theta state instantly. The music precedes the guided meditation. And then that third meditation, I don't want to skip it. That one is the one that I use most often when I'm working with someone to clear cancer. So that third one is called Heaven on Earth, and it's the radiation outward of potential energy from the inside so that the person just is just flowing all that divine energy through and shining like a sun, because that's the process that breaks up the cancer or the depression or whatever other illness there might be.
Mm-hmm. Now, since, you know, when we attract dis-ease to us, as I call it, I think that we bring it in through our thought patterns on some level, whether it's a thought pattern in past life, this life, or whatever life, even a parallel life. How can we utilize, let's look at color, because you talk about color therapy in your book. So how can we utilize color plus working with the chakras to kind of have that dissipate?
Wonderful question. Okay. Well, I want to make sure that people are following this, because obviously you are quite up on all of this, Monique, but some people might not quite know what we're getting at.
Okay.
Let's start just at the beginning here. Bear with us for those who do know what we're talking about. Okay. To begin with, when there's some kind of an illness, such as cancer, for example, in a person, their energy field, their aura, generally shows a darkness, a thickness, sort of a sticky kind of energy. It feels grainy if it's cancer. For those who run their fingers through that energy field right in front of the person's body, that energy worker would notice that there's definitely a different temperature there, that there's a different feeling to the energy. And this kind of energy shows up even before the physical signs of the disease appear, just like what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And exactly like what you're saying, if the person had for many years feelings of low self-esteem, or worse than that even, if they'd had traumas that they had just never cleared, really bad feelings that were just bothering them on a constant basis, so that there was a tension. You know, and people feel these things, even if they don't know what their chakras are, they can feel a tension in their stomach, or they might have constant headaches. And so those kinds of symptoms often precede other more serious ailments. But all of these things show up in the energy field. Okay, so getting to your question, what can people do with their auras? What can they do with the color therapy? Quite a lot. The first thing is to recognize where that kind of problem exists. And so some people get aura photos taken, and if they get their picture taken and notice that there's not much color, it looks really black, in the sense that there's just an absence of light, that would be a warning sign if the camera's working properly. Not to panic people if there's a malfunction with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that people can do to work with their energy is just to know, first of all, that everything that happens to our energy bodies is reversible. So if we've got pain, if we've got trauma, we can bring healing to it. If we have disease, we can bring a sense of refreshing, healing energy to the area. And so that's the purpose behind that aura healing meditation CD I have. But if people don't have this CD and they just want to do something right now, if they've got some kind of a headache or any kind of ailment. One of the things that I like to work with is just a very soft, subtle, kind of a golden white light. This is color therapy.
Uh-huh.
And gold is a color, like you mentioned earlier, it's extremely healing and helpful without being intrusive or, damaging. It's pretty useful anywhere. And so pranic healers that use light therapy, they often recommend using very soft colors.
Uh-huh.
So if working on the brain, you'd want to use a very soft green, for example, rather than something that's a very dark color. And so just by thinking of those colors, or even by wearing them, or by changing the colors in your room to be soft and white and gold, you can definitely influence your ability to heal and to start coming out of a dark phase of your life into a much better phase. This is a really simplified answer. I mean, some things obviously need some pretty long-term, detailed, specific kinds of treatments. So I'm just talking in sweeping generalities.
Okay. Well, Cynthia, can you, I know that you work with people over the phone. Can you work with someone long-term over the phone to help them through their dis-ease back to health?
Yes.
Okay.
It's possible, like I said earlier, it's been proven through these double-blind studies that a lot of healers have been able to make tremendous changes and for the better for people that they work with. And I do that too with clients often that I don't see in person, but I'm working with remote. So I like to work with people when they're ready to do what they need to do to make those changes.
Uh-huh.
And the reason, as you know, I know you do the same kind of work, Monique. You know what I'm getting at here. When people are just at that place and they don't really want to change and they want someone else to do it for them,
uh-huh.
This is a problem, as you well know.
Yeah.
So I would basically tell people, when you're ready to start working on your own energy, because we can tell, if you're getting a client, like if I get a client and they're not doing their stuff, I can tell instantly. And so, and I'm sure you can too.
It's
a matter of thinking, okay, wait a minute. It's like going to the dentist and it's obvious that the person hasn't brushed their teeth ever since they last saw you. Then it's like, okay, you haven't brushed or flossed, have you?
Oh, yes, I have.
I can't hide it. And so it really works best when the person who's coming for that kind of treatment is willing to do their part.
Uh-huh.
And then you might be wondering, or the listeners might be wondering, what's the point of working with an energy healer? Well, the point is that you've got a partner. You've got someone who can give you confirmation
uh-huh.
and can give you guidance and coaching and walk you through the process and, give you that kind of continued support, as you're saying. So definitely, yes.
Okay. Well, then why is it that some people don't heal?
Well, okay, this gets into a whole big subject.
We've got a few minutes. Okay.
It's big. A lot of people have...
the condensed version.
Well, I guess the fastest way to say it is that people often have beliefs that get in the way. And they might not even realize that they have those beliefs,
mm-hmm.
but they're there. Often they're subconscious. They might be, like you mentioned, that person that died exactly 6 months to the day after they'd been given the death sentence by their doctor.
Right.
You've got 6 months to live. Beliefs are very powerful. A belief is something even more than what we know, even greater than a fact. It's something that we actually believe to be true and that we hold close to ourselves, and we program ourselves according to that belief.
Mm-hmm.
So this means that someone who totally genuinely believes that they will get well, even if they're taking a placebo, which means some kind of medication that's just basically sugar-coated sugar or nothing,
mm-hmm.
They will get better. Whereas someone who has the belief that they are taking the placebo that is not doing anything for them would get worse, even if they're on actually medicine that has been proven effective at treating whatever it is that they have. So I'd say beliefs are the number one thing that interfere with people getting better. And
okay.
When I say beliefs, I mean destructive beliefs. Beliefs that My vision must get worse when I'm getting older because that happened for everyone else I know. That doesn't have to be the case. Or beliefs that, a lot of us have aging beliefs that as we get older, we're going to get creaky, our body won't work so well, we're going to get disease, all these things. So I would start by revising one's beliefs, and instead of saying, you know, what next, I'd say, how good can it get? You know, start challenging the universe to show you how you can turn things around and how you can help your life get better and help other people get better so that we can just get a really good chain reaction going.
Okay. Okay, well, Cynthia, let's put out your phone number, your contact information so people can reach you. Let's do that before we go further.
Okay. The best way is through my website, and hopefully people are accessing that if they are tuning into the show right now. The website is realityshifters.com. And that's realityshifters.com. And my email is the next best thing. It's on the website. That's cynthia@realityshifters.com. And I prefer email contact because it just works best with my schedule. I do work sometimes on the phone, but I'm often either doing a consultation on the phone or something else. It's best to reach me via the internet.
Okay. And I do know that you have some radio and maybe TV appearances coming right up.
Yes. I'll be appearing soon on a program. Let's see. It's Beyond the Ordinary, and that's coming up this Thursday. I don't know that I've got a TV appearance coming right up, but the Beyond the Ordinary is definitely something that people might want to tune into. I'll be talking about retrocausal reality shifting on that show. And so it's
what kind of reality shifting?
Changing the past.
Oh, okay.
I know. It's one of those things that you might wonder, what the heck?
So, well, that's interesting because I wasn't really aware that we could change the past.
Oh, definitely. Basically, when you think about a lot of the miraculous transformations that happen when people have cancer and then it goes away, or if you look at a case of someone that has multiple personality and they're able to just move fluidly from a condition which is something that there's no way to fake it, but they obviously have a life-threatening disease, or they have a tremendous visual impairment or whatever it may be, they're just able to just move between what seems to be parallel realities. Changing the past, if you think of the fact that maybe we do have an infinite number of parallel realities existing side by side that we can all access. And I mentioned that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? They talk about that in that movie. So imagine for a moment that you can do that. You can just jump from one reality to another. And the way we do that is through intention and also through working with our own personal energy and the energies of the universe, finding that place where we fit in. So if you're able to just imagine you've jumped from one place to another, maybe in one reality you're starting to get a cold, and then you jump to the reality where, no, I'm not, I've decided to get better. And I think most of us have had that experience where you just decide, I can't get sick right now. So you make that jump, now you're well. So that's an example of jumping to a completely different reality. It's not just a jump in physical space, it's actually playing with, the histories. And so you can jump to a place where you never did have that cold. That is changing the past. And so it's every bit as easy to do as changing the future. And a lot of people have noticed something that's called the alive again phenomenon, where people that had been reported dead are showing up again very much alive. And this is something that sometimes it happens to people who knew the person personally. Such as a filmmaker that I know was friends with the filmmaker Capra, and so he just noticed that Capra had been reported dead in the New York Times, but then he was alive again, and it was devastating to go through the news of his death because it had been a confidant and a friend and a colleague and a mentor to this filmmaker. And so when he found out that the Copper was alive again, it was sort of exciting but kind of exhausting to have gone through all that grieving. And okay, now he's alive again. That's weird. It was just really weird. And then he died again, of course, because, you know, people don't live forever. So it can be anything as personal as that, or it can be a situation. In my case, I heard the news reports of Jane Goodall's death, and then I saw that recently she's on tour. She's going, you know, between countries, traveling and talking about her work with the chimpanzees.
Oh.
And so that was strange. And then Captain Kangaroo was a famous character on TV many years ago, and he was reported dead. And then a lot of people saw that he was alive again after that initial report. He's the number one most frequently remembered alive again famous personality. That was through a poll at realityshifters.com.
Uh-huh.
And then Jane Goodall is the one that comes up. And that actor that played J.R. Ewing on that TV show Dallas. I'm trying to remember his name.
Oh, God. yeah, of course, you know. Yeah.
Well, we know who it is.
Yeah, Larry Hagman.
Larry Hagman.
Yeah.
Yes, he had been reported as having, well, first he was reported dead, and then, and I saw that in the newspapers. I saw, you know, how when that happens to a famous personality, the newspapers go through the entire history of their life and what happened, and track them through all the TV shows, I Dream of Jeannie, and so forth. They went through everything the way that they do. They covered a whole full page of the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw that he was alive again, which is a good thing, but a little bit strange. And,
well, maybe Jeannie brought him back.
And now the history, according to the reality that I'm currently in, shows he had some kind of a surgery. It was a life-threatening health situation he'd been in, but he did not die.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been no retrospective of his life, but I saw it. And I saw the same thing with Jane Goodall, and I did not confuse her with Diane Fossey. In fact, what was so striking about Jane Goodall's passing the first time, of course she's alive again, but when she did pass away a number of years ago, I just was so upset. I thought, how could two primate researchers both be murdered? Because she had been murdered. And I thought, that is so weird. First Diane Fossey, and now Jane Goodall. What is it? Are there hit people that are out there?
A conspiracy, yeah.
Yeah. I thought, what's going on? This is weird. But now it's almost even weirder that she's alive again. Weird but good.
Yeah.
And there's no report that she had been attacked by people with guns. There's no report of it whatsoever.
So, anyway. Well, let me ask you a question. You talked about the parallel lives. Now, is it possible to die in one life but still be alive in the other parallel lives?
Definitely.
Okay, so could that be part of the reason why we're, like, dead, but we come back?
Yes, that's exactly it. What I find interesting is that there seems to be, there are times when one person might notice some sort of incidental figure in their life being alive again, such as a dentist or a neighbor or someone they hardly knew. In my case, my roommate's cat had been run over by a car back in the 1980s, and then I felt terrible about that because I loved that cat. I moved across the street, and I wished I'd just had a chance to visit with that cat. I felt like, man, I missed out. I love that cat, and I just wish I'd had more time with him. And then a couple weeks later, there was that cat. Ashes was his name, and he was in my backyard. He looked terribly scruffy, like he wasn't washing his fur properly.
Uh-huh.
A little bit greasy, but boy, was he alive, and it was definitely him. And that was the first incident where I'd seen someone come back and be alive again. I was stunned, to say the least. I'm really glad, but confused.
Yeah.
And so my husband approached and said, wow, is that Ashes? I said, yes. And he said, I thought Ashes was hit by a car. He remembered, too.
Uh-huh.
And I said, he was. And then I looked at my husband and I said, you know, this is impossible. Yeah, it's supposed to be dead. I said, it looks like, then my husband joked that he looks like maybe he had been hit by a car, just because he looks scruffy. I mean, he was walking just fine. But we jumped to some reality where the cat was alive, but declining in health rapidly.
Oh, okay.
And so he didn't live that much longer. But anyway, yes, it does seem like we do jump between different parallel realities.
Okay. Well, Cindy, we have a few minutes left, but there's one thing I do want to cover. You'd sent out an email, and she sends great email, folks, so, you know, sign up and get on her list, her newsletter list. And you talked about the movie on HBO, Last Best Choice. Do you think that the media or Hollywood, they have some type of, connection to the other side to bring to what's going to happen to us? Or is it something that they create and then through like a self-fulfillment prophecy, we here on Earth cause it to happen?
Wow.
You might want to fill people in on last best choice.
Well, there's a little bit of both. I just love your question because I think that a lot of people that are writing scripts for Hollywood, and it's not just one show, it's just happening in so many different areas now. It's an exciting time, and I feel that the movies are actually better in some ways than they've ever been, both on TV and the movies that we see in the cinema. But it's also a case where when people see something and they like it, we tend to go that direction. I think we're seeing it, quickly just jumping back to the news again, because, the stories that we hear about, people that are, doing things that are not correct, like Enron Corporation and, people that make trades and so forth, and this, whatever it is that they're doing that may not be right. People are outraged by that. And the feelings, when people feel like that's not right, we need to have integrity in our, everywhere, then that does, it changes things. There seems to be a transformation globally. And so it's affecting everything, from the storms that you mentioned to two gulfs. I'm going to try to tie everything back together because we're in the last few minutes.
That's okay. Go ahead. We've got
excited
2 minutes.
Yeah. So the thing with the storms is when Americans feel like maybe we're not fighting this war for the right reasons, there is a sense of some complicity, a sense of some guilt as well. And so I think that it leaves us open to having our own Gulf battered by storms. We have the desert storm, of course, that Bush Sr. Brought to the to the Middle East, and now we're having our own very wet kind of a storm, not a desert storm, but a very wet storm coming
through. Still a storm,
definitely. And so I don't think there's any accident whatsoever. I think that there's a lot of cosmic consciousness, a lot of steering the Earth's awareness, and it's happening by all of us who are very, very tuned in and aware. And so it's kind of like voting. There's a kind of a democracy going on that doesn't take place in the ballot. It doesn't take place in the ballot box. It's not part of any election per se, but it's happening every minute of every day. When we decide, is this something that we'd like to go along with, or is it something that we don't wish to experience?
Yeah, time for a change. Well, Cynthia, thank you so, so much for being my guest today and the first guest on Walking with Spirit on BBS Radio. I really appreciate it. Please put out your website and contact information again.
Okay. My website is www.realityshifters.com, and my email is cynthia@realityshifters.com, and I've got my books and CD available for sale there and on amazon.com.
Okay, great. And if you'd like to connect with me, you can visit my websites. The first one is www.walkingwithspirit.net, all one word. And the second one is www.healing-visions.com. That's vision, plural, .com. Or you can give me a call at 888-240-6057. Many blessings, light, and love to all. See you next week. Namaste.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.